Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jamie, man.
I let you bang. I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast full of Bill Dawes, who's in the shower, I think.
No.
Wow. What is going on? Hope you guys are doing well. Second podcast this week. Greg is doing much better. And I don't know if you know, but Greg Wilson had a heart attack. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, he was doing jiu-jitsu. He actually was exercising. He hasn't exercised in years. Went too much, too hard. But he's doing better. He's okay. He was 100% blocked artery blockage, but they got it. So I'm happy. I love Greg Wilson. One of my best friends in the whole world. It's crazy.
How long had he been doing? Was that his first day in jiu-jitsu?
Third class. People were writing funny comments in the thing. They were like, cause he's blaming it on exercise. And I'm like, and I think it was the lack of exercise and then the exercise. Someone was like, I could see if it was a 15 mile mud rudder, tough, you know, it was his third Beverly Hills Jiu-Jitsu class, beginner class, but not to make fun of Greg at all. Cause I don't want to make light. I love Greg. I just think maybe it was, you know,
okay now.
Yeah. But I'm not making one of them. He had a heart attack. I'm just saying that, like, oh, it's exercise, not like.
Wait, where did it happen? In class? Like, they had to call.
It was in the locker room afterwards. And
where was it?
It was in the locker room in Beverly Hills BJJ. And then he got home and his heart started beating and got rushed to the hospital. And then, like, it was like bad. I mean, thank God he's okay. And once again, Greg, if you watch this, I love you to death. But it was funny.
Of all people, Greg would be someone who'd have a sense of humor about it, you know?
Oh, I love Greg the most. I'm so happy he's okay. He's one of my best friends and one of the funniest people I've ever met. If not the funniest person, he's definitely top three funniest people I've ever met in my life. Beyond underrated comedian. He murders it. He just has to go up a little early sometimes because sometimes if he gets too messed up, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm home with my daughter. It's Easter break and my wife. Oh, you got me a sticker? Oh, you need help with it? You can't get it off? Okay, I got you covered. My wife went to Coachella to work, and so I'm on dad duty. We have a whole thing's planned, though, right? We're going to go to this concert. Who's this woman named Twinkle Time? She's the Lady Gaga for three-year-olds. She puts on an amazing show, all original music. Dude, we went there. There was like 20 people at her concert. There should have been 20,000. Like beyond underrated, like hilarious, not hilarious, like great show. Dancers, concert, we're going there.
How do you hear about these people?
You know, I'm on these like Gold Star, like, or like these things of like things. I'm always looking of like things to do with a toddler in LA. I'm on like Moms of LA or Kids of LA or, you know, redtricycle.com. There's like, you know, because so here we go. I think I got it for you. Meanwhile, Bill, I saw your trailer. You're so funny. You're like, how many times can you spot me in my trail for your show? Like, what a humble brag. So I watched it to see it. You're on a lot with like legit stars. Like, that show looks awesome.
I mean, I don't know. Find someone who's seen it.
Here you go, Violet. It's a show on Showtime with Kevin Bacon and actors that you've seen everywhere. I mean, like not like
Ghostbusters is on it.
Yeah, the guy from Ghostbusters, right. I mean, has it been airing? What season is it on?
This is season 3.
All right, well, I'll catch up. It looks awesome.
I tell you what, I always get on the third season of a show that ends up being the last season.
Well, hey, man, look, I've sold 2 shows where we shot pilots and the whole network went under. not just the pilot, like Fuel TV went under and Esquire went under and MySpace. I sold out MySpace. Anyway, I was talking to somebody, I was telling somebody some crazy stuff. I was talking to this morning about what's some of the biggest hustles you've seen as like a comic, like just, all right. For example, I was in Florida, at Captain Brian's, which you've done back when it was in Marco Island. Right. And it was like a seafood restaurant, an awesome one, best lobster you ever had, but they converted into a comedy club. And yeah. Captain Brian's one of my favorite people of all time. Right. But I'm there and Craig Gass calls me up and I've known Craig for years. And Craig Gass, people know from the Howard Stern show, is a character and a half. He's just one of those dudes that like will always get like front row, like on the stage at some concerts. He's just one of those guys. But like he does amazing impressions. Like his impressions are dead on. Both his parents were deaf, by the way. And he learned how to talk by watching television. So he's like, yo, man, you mind if I jump on the shows and Captain Brian's? And I'm like, well, we can co-headline and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, yeah, yeah, no problem, right? So he goes on the air and he says, he goes on the radio for the whole week as Al Pacino, Tracy Morgan, Adam Sandler, Christopher Walken, saying they're going to go see Craig Gass and Adam Hunter, like at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Marco Island. And keep in mind, the Super Bowl was like that weekend in Florida. So there was like, so now the whole town of Naples and Fort Myers, the city, comes to the show because they all think that these people are going to be there. Literally, people would like,
the impersonations are that good.
That good. Like literally people had like Adam Sandler posters and they had like Tracy Morgan's mechanic who he like owed money to was there. And like people out, but at the edge, the local news picked it up. Like, so now every show is beyond sold out. And the whole time, the place holds like 200 people or 100 people. People are looking around the whole show to try to see where Al Pacino was sitting. And I'm like, thank God I went on first, right? So Craig goes on and he's doing fine. But halfway through his show, he starts doing the impressions, right? And everyone at first they're laughing and then they realize they've been duped and that these people are not. And then I'm like, bro, you got to close with that because the rest of his set, people were so fucking pissed. And he would do these deals like with clubs, door deals, where he'd be like, listen, you know, give me X amount of money, which is like super low, or just give me the whole door. And they'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? And then he would go to the town early, like a week early, become best friends with the radio guy. And the radio guys are going to like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, hey, we have Adam Sandler calling in and we have this person calling in. And literally then he would walk away with like 30 grand because the whole city, he would basically like bankrupt the comedy club because they were like, dude, what a fucking hustle that was. I laughed so hard. There was another guy, a comic I knew, who somehow figured out how to get everyone's phone numbers in the world. And he had like mass texts and then he would text people. Hey, I haven't seen it in a while. I got free tickets to a comedy club. So every show would be sold out, but you'd see the crowd looking at each other, trying to figure out who that person was that texted them. like it's just one hustle after the next. And it's just, yeah.
The phone number scam is a big one, but I guess you can get in trouble for it. Like it's not technically legal or something like that, but.
Time, but like, I mean, if I'm on jury duty, And somebody comes in there and they're like, well, he texted people free comedy club tickets. Am I going to put that person away? Like, I mean, what jury is going to acquit that? You'd have, I don't know. You have to be really annoyed to get that kind of, but then you're going to
get a fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, have you watched the fights last week?
Not all of them. Watched some of them. Yeah.
What did you think of, did you think Aljamain Sterling won the fight?
I know a lot of people are saying that like he only won 2 rounds. Like there are like a lot of people are saying he won two and three. And but he lost 1-4.
Well, probably can't do that. No. Yeah. But what did you think?
I really didn't think one way or the other. I didn't think that Peter. I wasn't like, oh, Peter Yan definitely won it.
Yeah, it seemed like Aljamain landed more. Peter Yan did more damage with landed the harder shots. But in boxing, like if you go by boxing rules, the one who lands more punches wins the fight, especially in like Olympic boxing, right? I remember there was a guy, Larry Merchant, by the way. I used to love Larry Merchant because I don't, there's no one in the UFC like Larry Merchant. Like it was, it's all now, all the commentators are like upbeat now. Like you don't get any cynical ones. Even people that like were dicks at one point, like Michael Bisping. I would say Dominic Cruz is the biggest curmudgeon. But he's not like Larry Merchant was. Violet, okay, daddy's gonna be in the other room. Okay, if you need me, I'll be right in there, okay? Okay, and then you can turn that on. She's turning the lights on and off. Because I remember one time Larry Merchant, he would be like in the middle of a fight, like I think it was Shannon Briggs versus somebody, and he's like 600 pounds. And we got a jabbing contest. And then I remember, what's his name, won a fight, James Toney. And he goes, attention, obese people, you now have a champion.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally. And then after you won, he would interview you going like, Roy Jones, when are you going to fight a real guy? Or like, or Floyd Mayweather, like is this the best you got? Like I remember like him like saying, I think that was like the last, he got fired because him and Floyd got into it. Floyd's like, Larry, I'll kick your ass. And he's like, well, 30 years ago, I would have beat your ass, which there was no version of Larry Merchant. I don't think he'd ever even boxed that would have beaten Floyd Mayweather. But I feel like the UFC, there needs to be some MMA company that like Don Fry would be perfect as that commentator. Because
he's not hired. He'd be a perfect guy to be hired. Why is he not?
I don't know, because people don't think outside the box, you know, like they think, oh, let's get the same, you know, six guys. Don Fry, because he would be like, ugh, he would just make noises like Violet. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That didn't make a noise. It's okay. No, please. No more noises. Please. No more noises. Please. Okay. I know. Okay. I know. Did she's these kids? The other day I was putting her to sleep, and I put her to bed, and she goes, "Oh, you didn't do my smells." I said, "What?" She goes, "I need my smells," and then she points, and Brie has like this sleep mist that she puts on before kids. I'm like,
"Oh, that's adorable."
Like my smells. Then like I'm trying to teach her manners, right? So she's like, "Daddy, you know, get me a milk." I go, "What's the magic word?" She goes, "Abracadabra."
That's true. It's a good point.
Yeah, I think that is a magic abracadabra. I was laughing so hard. Then I go downstairs. She's upstairs. I go to get her milk, right? And I check my phone, and I hear, "I don't hear any pouring." Dude, this kid has no fear of me. You know, like you used to fear your parents at some point. You would, but you know, I've never yelled at her. Like I've never like that was probably Violet. Like I've never. I mean, I know some parents believe in spanking. I don't. I'm never gonna have to, like, you know. I just thought I'll hold her wrist or something and be like, "No, listen to me." But I would never. This is not me. I don't want to ever have to raise a hand to, you know, but I, you know, there's a look. If I give her, like, I've given her a look and then she started crying, you know, like the look, but it's just only a matter of time before she realizes that look means nothing too, you know, you know, what about you? Have you ever spanked your kid?
I have never. One time I was driving my daughter, and she was in the back seat, and she had like I think a backpack with like had like a can of soda in it, and she like swung it at me kind of like as a joke, but it like hit my head, and I yelled at her, and she was like, and even to this day she like remembers it. She's like, the only time I like yelled at her.
Dude, I remember my dad hitting me one time. I had like a five finger like a five, like literally left a five finger, like, boom. Or like, I mean, look, I've had the best dad. I love my dad, but he's like, oh, you think you're a tough wrestler? Big tough guy? Oh, you think you're the champ? Like literally with like, you know, it was just a different.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about corporal punishment for kids because look at this new generation of kids haven't been beaten at all. And look at them. Look what they're doing.
I mean, I was telling somebody that, but you know what? Maybe it's just the random selection of kids that I have that go to the charter school that I coach, but they are 100, like maybe because we didn't have the internet and we needed more things to do when I was growing up. But like when I got to eighth grade, I was doing horrible things. Like I was throwing eggs at cars. I was bullying people, kids, beating kids up on the school bus. I was getting bullied myself a lot worse than I was bullying. But we used to there were kids, they would had like a fake body that they made and they lived above a bridge and they would drop it on cars that would like stop. And then all of a sudden the thing would fall and people thought they hit somebody. Or they put a thing called, we had a thing called sticks in the sewer, where we put a stick in a sewer and people drive it over and we would hope it would rip out their muffler. Like this was like our Friday night entertainment. Like, and these kids are not, and like, dude, this is pre-boarding school. And after I turned ninth grade or eighth grade really, and I got kicked out of my house and realized like this was not the way to act. And I'm not proud of any of that kind of shit, you know? Yeah. In fact, like one time, I mean, literally, God was with me in this one because, you know, I was a terrible third baseman, the worst. Like my dad was the coach, so I made the all-star team, but I was not. I was that kid. Like I could never get the ball from third base to first. I was just on like off a hop. I was just a terrible arm and could barely hit. I played catcher or something that like no one else wanted to play, like so right field. For some reason, when it came to throwing an egg at a car, I was Nolan Ryan. I could fucking just like, and I remember like I was in the bushes, threw an egg. It hit a door. It hit a window. And then the guy got out and then the neighbor saw me and told on me. There was a baby in the car. And if that window was open, I could have hit the baby. The baby could have been blinded. Like, holy fuck, was I lucky. Like that was... I mean, I was 13 years old. That was just like, man, like I said, I was very, and like, I don't even know why I feel terrible even saying this. Like, why am I even telling this? You know, this is just, I'm just saying kids seem nicer now. So maybe they're softer, but maybe they're nicer.
Yeah, I think that might be the trade-off. But then again, you also hear about all the cyberbullying and even just like, I'll post all the video online and the people will just start horrible, horrible things. And I'll say things like, whatever, I'll come back and be like, whatever, dude, fuck you. And they'll be like, I'm 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, dude, you're not wrong. I mean, there was a time when my wife, like our first, we had a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage, not we. And somebody wrote me an email saying like, that kid's so much better off. And like, you know, just you're an awful person. Just this fucking, how does it feel? And I'm like, and I tried to find the person. I literally tried to like find who that was. And just, it got me so angry. I don't know what I would have done, you know, but I wanted to just contact that person, but I couldn't figure out who it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that where like, at least back in the day, it was face-to-face assholeness, face-to-face bullying. Now there's like literally somebody will make a thing and every single negative comment is a person with an avatar that's not an actual person. Like it's just a cartoon or
it's like,
it's just like that shouldn't be allowed. Like unless you put exactly who you are, they should like, if you should be off Twitter, Instagram, like you should have accountability. At least I'm not saying you should be fired from your job. I don't believe that. At least you should have to take it. Like you make a comment like that, you should have to face the consequences.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. Yeah, what does that have to do with MMA? I have no fucking idea. I had Mike Richmond booked, and then I gave him the wrong time because I wasn't. I'm like, I'm doing 100 things. So pinned, right? Obviously pinned. We made the show.
Uh-huh.
But so far, it's made 5 film festivals, right? I don't think people realize how hard it is to make a film festival. Everyone in the world makes films. Everyone enters film festivals. Like, no, it hasn't made Cannes, you know, but it's made some pretty damn good ones. And it made the Hollywood Comedy Film Festival. And there's a screening at Grumman Theater at Big Six. Yeah,
big one. The big, like, where they used to have, like, the Oscars and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got to be on working on like, a cruise ship that week. So I can't go. Do I cancel the cruise? I mean, that's going to be... And it's good money on these cruises and go, or
I would say no. Because what is the end game? So what do you get for being, I mean, just to see the big screen is just for the fun of seeing on the big screen.
Yeah. And I'd have actors in it and I would maybe invite people, but I don't even know if anybody would even show up that like people probably send me a link, you know, kind of a thing. But yeah, I mean, just to that, just to have like my daughter, my wife, you know,
yeah.
I mean, just to feel cool. The problem is canceling the cruise is you're not canceling one cruise. You're canceling basically like you're getting in trouble. Like you're on a list of people who, but my goal was never really, you know, I don't know.
I will say this, whenever I've canceled like actual work to go to like a premiere or like a thing or a festival or a part, I always like, that was a bad fucking idea.
I know.
Never like, there's not going to be a big fucking red carpet. It's not, you know what I mean?
No, but there are
12 people spread out in a giant.
The 12 people that were in it, watching it for the 80th time.
I cancel the fucking cruise ship.
I could probably hire my own photographer to act like it was a real red carpet. Like you know, I could probably do all that. I don't know, man. It's just, but I'm super excited about that, which is cool. And we're doing another UFC comedy jam, a second one.
Nice.
And with Frankie Edgar, Sarah McMahon, Andre Feely. That's going to be May 19th. The day before my birthday in Las Vegas at the Strat. So a lot of hard work went into that. You guys have no idea. But thank you, Dana. What's up, people? Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Now head over to their website or use your mobile device. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code CLNS50 to get started. It's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds right to the Olympic coverage. And it's the best in the business, okay? From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
But you already recorded it, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm writing a whole, this is like my third UFC hour. Wow. In three years. Like, I mean, and that's like, you know, a lot of, the problem with sometimes with that is I know where to test the jokes. Like I do a joke about my daughter. I could do that joke, but I write a joke about, you know, Jurgen DeCastro, who's coming on the show in 20 minutes. And I see it in the eyes of people because they're loving the first 20 minutes of the jokes. And then I go, I do a John Jones joke. And then I do like a Frank. And then by the time I get through the Aljamain Sterling joke, the women have just checked out. Guys are looking around. And then like the 6 people that MA Rosa fans are like, yes. It, like, like they're high-fiving, like and also it's so much easier to do comedy for fans of MMA sometimes than actual fighters themselves. Don't get me wrong, because sometimes do like I do shows for the actual fighters, and they're like, you're making fun of their friends. Like, and they don't even know how to act sometimes. Like, unless they're with the friend who's there, who you're making, if I'm making fun of a guy who's there, ha 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 ha. But if he's not there, it's like,
yeah.
It's, you know, so it's the best are like the award shows, like people, like, it really is hard to host those, any award show on any level, whether it's to ESPYs, whatever, because people you're making fun of have the worst. You have to do Ricky Gervais. I'm just not give a fuck and go guns blazing. That's the only way.
Yes.
I mean, Chris Rock, people don't realize Chris Rock was my favorite comic. People ask me, what's your favorite comedy special of all time? Bring the Pain. That's what made me want to become, I was already a comic when that came out, but that's when I was like, this is the great, and I watched it again recently because with Nikki Paris, because me and Nikki were on a road trip and Nikki never heard it. And I'm like, dude. And then by the end of it, me and Nikki were just like, man, we suck. Like, I'm like,
I say it was some Louis C.K.'s best writing. Anyway,
dude, it was Louis C.K., Wanda Sykes. I mean, there was a lot of people on that, and you could hear them. You could hear Wanda's voice on that. It wasn't just
his voice.
But if you know the story behind it, a little comedy history, because I talked to Tony Rock about this, is that Chris Rock, you know, back in the day, you know, he was on SNL. He left SNL because they made him the executive producer of like season 7 of In Living Color, right? So he went out and bought this huge house, and then it went off the air. Boom, right? And now he had bills to pay, and he couldn't pay him. And he was sort of like he was sort of like on the way out. Like, he wasn't really connecting. The SNL thing didn't work for him. Like, he wasn't featured. So he goes on tour with Martin Lawrence. And at the time, Martin Lawrence was like Def Comedy Jam, House Party. Martin was the biggest comic in the world. Biggest black comic. You could arguably say biggest comic at that time. He was murdering. He was opening for Chris Rock, doing an hour and a half. Like, Tony said that, like, he was backstage with Chris one time, and it was like, boom, like they thought a bomb went off, and it was people laughing. And then Chris would go on and got booed, like, or really struggled. Not only is your opener doing an hour and a half too, which is probably not even the real opener. It's probably like an opener, a feature, his friend, fucking, you know, by the time Chris Rock. So then what happened was Chris Rock went like underground, and Tony told me that's when he really learned like how the importance of each word. Like, so he took a lot of the bits that he did when he used to host Def Comedy Jam. A lot of those same bits he did during that Bring the Pain special. But when he did that, it was like, that was the greatest special I've ever seen. But what I'm saying is, my whole point was, he hosted the MTV Music Awards one year, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. He goes out there and was making people cry. Like, he had NSYNC on, right? And he goes, and it was NSYNC and Britney Spears. And he goes, y'all ready for some real lip syncing? Like, before they went out, he goes, are you ready for some real? And then at the end, he goes, why'd they even use the microphone? like, I was like, oh my God. And then he was like, and then it was like Lil Kim, by the way, who I think I could have banged at one point. I have a crazy story about her, but because I did a show one time where I got tricked. I'll tell you that story. But Lil Kim had like, she had her titty out. Literally, her tit was out. And it was like a pasty. And then her dress was like just her titty out. And he's like, yo, ladies, you can't be claiming sexual harassment when you got titties hanging out. Like, dude, it was Chris Rock was... It was so fucking, that was the best special. That was the best award thing. That was better than Gervais. Like, Gervais was good.
Can you get online? Can you see it? Can you find it?
I gotta find it. When he said, are you ready for some real lip syncing? He goes, and he's like, who's gonna be the bad? He goes, because like, this is back when like the New Kids were like, there was like a member, like they had like a bad New Kid. I think it was Donnie Wahlberg. He's like, who's gonna be the bad member of NSYNC? Like, who's gonna be the one that kicked Britney Spears on a flight of steps? it was amazing. It was so fucking funny. And it was the dumbest crowd because it was a bunch of like, they would hire like 19-year-olds to like be seat fillers. And, And none of them would know how to laugh. They would just go, woo. So he'd make the most fucked up joke followed by a woo. Like even that was off, which was, it was brilliant. It was fucking brilliant. It was the award show where the guy, that was the thing. And then they hired the Wayans brothers afterwards, but not even the, not like Keenan and them. It was the other Wayans and they were bombing. It was like Sean and Marlon, right?
Oh yeah.
Dude, and yeah. Then this is back. I remember the guy from Rage Against Machine like climbed up in the middle of the award show. Do you remember that? In the middle of the award show, he climbs on the like on like a rafter and won't get off, and like for no reason. And then one of the Wayans is like, man, if he was black, they would have shot him by now. Like so that like kind of that kind of saved them. But in the beginning, they were like not doing very well. They also had Chris Rock to follow. Like
yeah.
One of them went out as Chris Rock and did a great Chris Rock impression and was killing it with the impression. But then we went back to the Wayans. It wasn't going very well. Like, I'm sorry. Like, and they're very funny guys. I'm not putting them down. That's just, I heard they were at the Cellar the night before, just like fucking around rapping into the microphone. Like they weren't really taking it. Like Chris Rock would spend 3-4 weeks at the comedy club with 7 writers honing his fucking shit. You know, dude, I remember one time I had a date with me. And I was like 19 and I had a fucking hot date with me and we're seeing Chris Rock perform. And he's like, man, women, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, you guys have it so easy. He's like, because like, he goes, a girl like you. And he points to my date. He's like, there's always going to be somebody that's going to fucking buy you shit. And he points to another girl that was attracted. He goes, you're going to have problems. I was like, dude, he used to say shit that was like, even when he was trying shit out, he was like Magic Johnson. He's like, what kind of AIDS he got? He goes, he gained weight and they gave him a talk show. He goes, why they give him a fucking talk show? That wasn't a talk show. That was a side effect of AIDS, right? Remember that Magic was, remember how bad his talk show was?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, well, first of all, they fired the co-host during the show. Remember that?
I don't remember that. No.
Yeah, Craig Shoemaker was.
Craig Shoemaker was the co-host.
Yeah, he was
in the middle. Wait, in the middle of an episode?
Yeah, in the middle. He talks about it in the middle of a show. he's starting and he's chiming in with jokes, right? And maybe he's doing more jokes than he should have. I didn't see it, but they were like, someone came up to him during the show. They go, "Hey, listen, can you not talk to whoever it was?" And then he's like, okay. The next segment's like, they don't want you on the show anymore. And he's like, oh, like tomorrow? He's like, no, now. So he came back. Dude, and then Howard Stern, like every day was just shitting on the show. Remember that? Howard Stern back in the day was brutal. I mean,
that's so funny how Howard Stern's become like this new like woke police fucking like nice guy. Like he was the meanest of them all, man.
Dude, it's crazy. I mean, he literally, the other day, he was like, you know, after what happened to the Oscars with the slap, he's like, I want to get a funny comic. I was going to call Rosie O'Donnell and get her. I'm like, I'll go, what? I go, this is a guy that literally every day was making Rosie O'Donnell cry. And now he's like, I have her cell phone. I'm like, this is not, I think they replaced Howard. Anyway, we got Jorgen De Castro here, who is a monster of a heavyweight. He was in the UFC. Now he's in the Eagle FC. He won his last fight by, I don't know, what was it, front? Was a standing guillotine?
Guillotine, yeah.
Standing, I mean, it was a, dude, the guy shot him for a double. Good, the guy was a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
And the dude was like, this guy has like strength of like 100 men. I mean, it was a minute and a half, just boom. That was awesome. Second Eagle FC. And now you're fighting Junior Dos Santos for the title?
Oh, number one contender. This is number one contender.
Now, I mean, that's a big step up. This guy was world champion a couple times, best in the world. He's got some reach on you. I know you're 4'3". Yeah, he's probably like he's huge. How are you going to prepare for Dos Santos?
We're gonna get in. We're gonna bring the fight to him, man. We're gonna get inside. We're gonna kick those legs, and we're gonna. I'm gonna try to touch that chin, man. I got that power. I believe in my power, and all I have to do is touch him once.
I mean, that's absolutely true. You do have that power. You knocked so many guys out. You grew up in Africa, right? In Cape Verde.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that like?
School, man, that's pretty cool place, but it's like there's nothing going on over there. You know, there's a nice place for vacation. Very humble people, nice people, you know, but we don't really do much over there. It's like sun, go to the beach, have fun, but you don't really grow and do bigger things, you know. It's a nice place, poor, but... nice place, man. I wouldn't change nothing in my life. My childhood home was good.
Now, did you play sports? Was there the high school sports there?
It's soccer. I used to play soccer. I was actually pretty good at soccer.
I saw you at the gym. I was like, actually, yeah, you were dribbling really well. Like, you know, I was like, holy shit. So, I mean, you must have been. Now, is that the big sport over there?
Yeah, soccer is the biggest sport, man. If you don't do soccer, people just like. Doesn't care, man. Like me being a fighter, thank God I started in Portugal, not in Cape Verde, but like you, there's no future. If you do soccer, people follow you back, support you. That's your way out in life in Cape Verde is either you be a businessman or a soccer player.
Now, Cape Verde, a lot of people go there for vacation, right? A lot of super rich people. And then the people on the islands, because I've been to the islands, I worked on cruise ships where like, you know, everyone, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Everyone's so nice. Come here. And then now when the white people leave, you guys go, fuck those guys. Like, is it one of those things? Or
No, we love people. There's very lovely people over there. And they appreciate every time that the tourists go down there. They receive very well. I'm going back there in December. It's been 7 years. No, 2000. I think it was 2017. I left. I went to Portugal, then I came to America in 2012. So this, I'm going all December back to I'm bringing my daughter to know Cape Verde.
Now, I know you're married and you're faithful and you got a beautiful wife and a great kid. But back in the day, the single women, when they came there, they want an experience, all right? They're like, listen, you know, I'm single. I'm on vacation. Were you the guy that was just like, hey, come back here. I'll show you the real experience. Is that what happened?
Dude, you got to be helpful. You can let the woman die with ignorance. Yeah. You know, show them what's the truth, man. Don't get me in trouble with this interview.
I feel like in every island, there's a nickname for that. When like the white women come on vacation and the local island guys bang them, there's a nickname. What was the name and from what your is island?
The nickname? I don't know. I don't know the nickname. You tell me. You guys, don't get me in trouble.
I'm not going to get you in trouble. I'm not going to get you in trouble. I just know that because women don't count that as a guy they slept with. They don't count that as one of the dicks. The guy from Cape Verde that was just showing them the tour guide that was like, hey, come at night. They'll show you that. And you're dancing with them at the end and then you sleep. That doesn't count, you know? Like,
eat, pray, love.
Yeah. So, got it. Now, then you moved to Boston. How do you go from Cape Verde to Boston?
No, I went actually to Portugal first, Lisbon, Portugal. You ever been in Portugal?
No, it's beautiful, good, right?
Beautiful place, good food, beautiful women too, like cheap. That's very cheap over there, living on there. Then I lived there for 5 years, then I moved down here in Boston, in Brockton specifically. My family lived there. So they've been here since, like, I think 1982. So my grandmother came, then my uncles, my mother, everybody's here now. So I moved down. I started doing kickbox in Portugal. And my uncle told me, if you want to go far, if you want to make this a living, you got to come to America and you got to do MMA.
Well, you got a late start. You started like what, 19, 20?
I started later on.
And then jiu-jitsu at like what, 23?
Me? Yeah, I started 21. What did you say?
when did you start jiu-jitsu? BJJ. When did you start?
I July in the hair, so sometimes I forget. Yeah. Okay. I started jiu-jitsu at 26, 27 actually.
Wow. Can you believe that, Bill? 27? Guy makes
all these freak athletes. Because it says here on your Wikipedia that you had your official fight debut 6 months after you began training.
Yes, I do. That was impressive. Yes, I 6 months after training, I jumped in. I fought someone that was like 5 years more experienced than me, actually, and I went to the distance.
Yeah, then you're knocking everybody out. You knock out Taffa, who's still in the UFC, and then you said you hit a 3-fight skid in the UFC. You said you could have worked harder. What do you mean by that?
I mean by when you got the power, sometimes there's a curse. I didn't believe in working too hard because I knew that I have the power to put anyone out. So I say, I mean, fuck it. I don't have to do jiu-jitsu. I don't have to do wrestling. I'm just going to wait and touch someone the jaw. So it doesn't matter. I was in the gym. I was in the gym training, but I was doing all I like, was striking, most time in sparring. So as a fighter, you don't involve, man. You got involved. You got to train wrestling, jiu-jitsu. You got to do your strength and condition. You got to the power that I possess. It worked against me. Not anymore, though. Now I'm doing everything right. I had a fight camp schedule. I'm doing my grappling like 4 or 5 times a week. I'm doing everything my coach asks. And I know I have the power, but I can't relate it on.
That's what I thought. People, you know, if Colby Covington had more power, he'd be the best ever. I'm like, yeah, but then maybe he wouldn't have to work as hard. It's like sometimes the reason he's so good at cardio is because he knows he's not knocking people out with one punch.
If you notice those best guys that the guys that I like the most, like very good, like Max Holloway, John Jones, those doesn't have punching power, but those guys are well-rounded. They can go 15 minutes, 25 minutes. They can do it all. So they probably work harder than everybody. If you notice, the guys with the power, like Derek Reese and other guys, they just rain in the power. And at some point, people are going to figure it out. That's what happened to me.
Now, do you ever worry about other things? It might take away from your power. Do you ever worry, I'll lose my power if I focus on all this other stuff? Did you ever worry about that?
That's one of the things that people keep telling me, you got to lose weight, you got to be 250, you got to be 245. And in my head, I say, if I drop 20 pounds, I'm going to lose all my power. So I don't want that. I prefer like be fat, but got the power, than be lean, the lean guy that want to fight for decisions. So, but I think it's all mental. I'm trying to lose some weight right now and be in better shape. I believe I still gonna get the power.
Now I've seen you training with John Jones. Did you move to Arizona?
New Mexico. It was in New Mexico.
Oh, New Mexico. So what was that? Was that a Jackson Winkle, John?
No, he's training in a different gym now. Jackson. They have a Jackson Wink have a couple of affiliation. So he's in Jackson, Oklahoma. So they do like private sessions only.
So Jones went back to New Mexico, private weird gym now.
Yeah, I know. Nice gym, actually.
What's going on with that guy? Tell us the 411. No idea.
Dude, he's great, man. The guy, my experience with him was top level. I mean, he got me living in his house for 10 days, drive me around. I didn't spend a dime over there, and I trained with him twice a day, introducing me to his coach, his family. The guy have a work ethic. I don't care what people say outside the cage. But he worked hard.
Yeah, well, the reason he's the best ever. Now he probably was like, I'm going to heavyweight. I need a good heavyweight. He picks you, right? He says, How did it, was it like Rocky? Did he get you out of a phone book? Like, how did he contact you?
No, he came to Boston with a friend of mine, Tom Egan. So he came to Boston. He said, dude, can we get some training session? So I trained with him twice, two sessions, and he immediately like got my phone number, text me, said, oh, I need you to come here. And I was perfect as I matched up with Junior Dos Santos the same week. So I told him, he was very excited. He was willing to help me out. He was very involved, actually, man. The guy know a lot about mixed martial arts, and I'm glad that I trained with him, and I'm probably going to go back in a couple of weeks again, finish the camp over there.
Now, when you're training with him, and you're like, I mean, because in my opinion, he's the best of all time. You know, he could have been better if he could have, whatever, but whatever. It's not even that. He's the best of all time. So when you're training with him, do you feel like you're training with the best guy of all time? Like, what is he doing differently than everyone else?
You look stupid. You look like you never wrestled before. You look like you never wrestled. I swear to God, it's very like, oh Jesus, guys, I'm going to train with him again. Like he go 100% everything. When we lift, he go 100%. When we swimming, he go 100%. Grappling, striking, everything with him is like perfection. And he doesn't get tired. We will do pad work for 10 rounds. He same composure, same everything. Like the guy is top. And his mindset is also different, man. He said he's willing to give up a leg, an eye, an arm, but nobody pick him up. His mindset is different.
Different. That's crazy. I mean, that's what a great experience for you. Now Eagle FC, they went out, they hired Chael Sonnen, they hired Henry Cejudo, and they have Usman as the commentators. Khabib has the organization. They're putting like all this money. There's 9 people in the crowd. Like what's going on here? Like the fights, how is this? How do I get involved in this business model? Cause I have like 9 viewers, but I want to get these guys as well. Like
I'm pretty sure he got a lot of sponsors. I don't know from where. He just made I'm pretty sure he have a lot of sponsors because there's no public allowed. And the app, the fight app is free.
Yeah, right. And now, the people come up to you afterwards and they're like, hey, listen, if you ever want to come to, Abu Dhabi or because they give you a card and go, listen, you're a good dude. If you ever need to go to, one of those, is this kind of some weird?
the first time we got a fight over there, I heard there's no public allowed. I thought this is going to be like a fight to the dead. You're going to be throwing over there. We're gonna be, I said, what are you gonna do? Where's the money coming from? But they treat us good, man. They pay like as good as UFC. They put in the card every 3 months, so I'm very happy and I'm blessed. It's
Russian oligarchs, right?
I don't think it's Russian though. I'm pretty sure it's not Abu Dhabi. What's the other place? Dubai. I think it's Dubai money. It's like sheiks and like people that are princes that just love fighting, because you know how it is. Jiu-jitsu is in Abu Dhabi. That's Abu Dhabi. You know what I'm saying? They look at these fighters like they're kings. These fighters are kings over there. So, but money isn't an option. Isn't really a thing. It's a thing. Like dropping a million it's like dropping, $50 for me, $1 million. It's just crazy. Like my friend had a joke about that. I went with Ahmed Ahmed. We went to Seychelles, we went to Dubai, and they go, look, that is the first 7-star hotel in the world. And they go, who gave it 7 stars? They go, I did.
I don't even know they have a 7-star hotel.
They have a 7-star hotel. Yeah, it's crazy. So you're Matt. Now, where'd you meet your wife?
Huh?
Where did you meet your wife?
In Cape Verde.
Okay, Cape Verde. Got it. Got it. Yeah. And your daughter, are you going to have her do sports, the soccer, jiu-jitsu? Or?
I tried to get him to fight, but she doesn't really like it. She's so... she do ballet and all dancing stuff, and so she don't want to... I'm trying to get her in all types of sport. I want to put her in swimming, gymnastics, anything. She said, oh, that's all sad. I just want to do ballet, and I'm okay.
I have the same... Dude, my daughter, she take her to soccer practice. She runs into the net and goes, this is my new home. Then she starts spinning. She starts spinning and doing twirls. All the kids are the game's over here. She's doing like leaps and this. I'm just like, whatever.
And nowadays with all the social medias, everything my daughter says, she want to be a YouTuber, a TikToker. I say, what is that? That's not even perfect.
Now, do you show up to the ballet recitals? Because that's kind of funny.
I have to show up with a daddy dress and everything, daddy ballet support.
Bill, how funny is this guy? I mean, you picture him with like all the moms and the soccer dads and then this.
And I'm there right in front, chair, and they go, Kiara.
And this guy's fighting Giro dos Santos in Eagle FC next week. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
That's a man right there. He goes to his ballet recital and then he goes fights Giro dos Santos. That's the best.
And everything. I had to bring her to ballet class, everything, do the air, the ponytail, I have to do everything. They demanded.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that. Now, if the UFC comes back after you beat dos Santos, because here's my prediction, you're going to knock out dos Santos. Okay. Are you going to go back or are you going to stay in Eagle FC?
It's all about money right now. I'm 35 years old. You know, I still believe I'm just getting started, but I'm smarter than I was before. So everything it was get to the UFC. My old goal was get to the UFC. When I get to the UFC, I didn't target new goals. I didn't think and get top 10 and make more money, get more sponsor. Now, to be honest, I don't care. I'm going to, this is my second UFC, my second Eagle FC fight. I'm going to make more money than I ever make in UFC. So if Eagle give me a new contract, make this kind of money, there's no reason to go back to UFC. But if UFC come with a good, if after this one, I have different option, different promotion, I don't care if it's UFC or UFC. If the money makes sense, I'm go about the money. I mean, I'm 35. How long more I can do this? 5 years? So I want money.
Now, yeah. Were you impressed with Chimaev last week? Or did you think, how do you think he does against Colby Covington if they fight?
I was very impressed because he really like dig in and get the job done. But I still think like Usman beat him and Colby beat him too.
Now, do you think Aljamain won or do you think Peter Yan won?
No, I think Aljamain won.
Yeah. Me too. He landed more in the first. It was close.
We give him a lot of shit. Everybody, I did it too. Everybody thought he acted up a little bit in the first one. Yeah. But I mean, this one you got to give it to him. So man, he definitely won the fight.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, man. Good luck. When is this fight? Oh, by the way, Hector Lombard is fighting Thiago Silva on the same card.
Oh shit!
Yes. Yes, this is going to be, no, is it? It's in Florida?
Florida, Miami, Florida. Yeah, it's May 20th. Yeah, 6 weeks. It's five weeks.
That's my birthday. So May 20th is my birthday. I'm going to be 44. So yeah, I'm an old man. And my birthday present, dude, I'm going to watch you win on my birthday. So
I know there's no public allowed, but if you want to go, I can get you a ticket.
I really?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I can require a ticket for you if you want to go watch my life.
I love that, and thank you, and best of luck. You are the man, and take care.
Thank you.
Again. Take care, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Have fun.
Thank you.
Wait, Adam, you're May 20th? That's so bizarre. Because Why? Because I've had like three serious girlfriends whose birthday was May 20th.
Oh, really?
It's very
special.
My daughter's 22nd. She was supposed to be May 20th.
Dude, how nice is that guy?
Yeah, he seems so cool, man. You should go to that. You should go to the fight.
May 19th is the UFC comedy special. And then I got, and then I leave for a cruise out of Long Beach, May 21st. So I don't think I would be able to, but unless, you know, and I think I'm bringing my family on the cruise for my birthday for that whole week. You know,
That should be fun.
Yeah, that's the worst part. The worst part of cruises is not seeing my daughter. Yeah. I love you. Okay. What was that? I want to make sure she's still okay.
She's like, Dad, let's be friends.
Yeah. That's funny. I told my daughter I love you. She said, let's be friends. That's a great joke. That's a great. Can I have that joke or you want that joke?
Of course, have it.
All right. Well, Bill, what do you have coming up?
Oh boy. What do I have coming up? You know, I'm headlining Bakersfield tomorrow night. I'm at the Laugh Factory this weekend. You know, whatever. Just shit.
You're on a TV show on Showtime.
Oh yeah. Well, that doesn't come out till June now. It's supposed to come out. It's called City on a Hill.
You just headlined the Laugh Factory in Okay. All right. If you were to look back at the younger Bill Dawes, the kid from Princeton, you grew up, right?
What's that?
Where did you grow up in? Maryland, right? Maryland?
Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. You played flag football or something, right? and be like, one day I'm going to be a movie star. I'm going to be on hundreds of TV shows. I mean, okay, and just so you guys know, because the people don't realize, they think Bill's just some fucking dork who's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, all right? Because people thought, I'm going to, you know, hold on, let me see, IMDb.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking guy, because it's pisses me off a little bit. Number one, you're also in PIN and killed it. Because,
yes, put me in the Man's Chinese Theater for a screening.
But also, like, that wasn't even, like, that was totally out of character for a role for you. And you murdered it. You were so good that the director, Joey Medina, put you in Beautiful Violence, which also is won, like, how many awards so far? All right.
I think it's won, like, 8 awards, yeah.
So, this dude has been in 72 credits, all right? A lot of City on a Hill, which is the show on Showtime. Also pinned, but you're on the show SWAT. Okay. You were in, here we go, man, Wu-Tang, An American Saga, which I've loved. Kevin Can Wait. That's, is that with, Kevin Can Wait? Is that with, what's his name? I don't know that. Yeah. Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, Elementary. And these are just, he's in a lot more. These are just the ones that I've heard of. Royal Pains, that was a big show. Criminal Minds, Call of Duty. You were in the video game?
I was in a couple of video games, yeah, but this is the voice.
Rizzoli and Isles, that's the, people love that show. All My Children. You were also in How to Spoon with Michael C. Hall. Law and Order, The Science of Love.
These are very unimpressive.
This is
incredibly unimpressive.
Sex in the City. I think you're crazy. That's a lot of fucking shit you were in. How You Living, Jeremy Piven. Laugh Factory. Reza Riffs. Is that Reza the rapper?
How do you get your podcast on IMDb? That's bizarre to me.
Oh, all right. Gotham Comedy. But how is this unimpressive? These are huge. I hope they serve beer in hell, which is, I think, what's the name? Forrest Griffin's in that also. L.A. Noir. Yeah, you were a lot of shit, dude. A lot of stuff. Unfiltered. That is also, I think that was, what's the name's TV? Dan Levy show, right? Yeah, that's, come on, man. Give me a fucking break, bro. Like, it's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So anyway, and then you have four things coming up. You have the untitled Mohamed Amer Netflix project.
Oh, you know Mo Amer.
Oh shit, Mo Amer, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know him as Mohamed Amer. I know him as Mo Amer, yeah. Aloha means goodbye. I don't know what that is. Wedding Season.
A Hulu
show. Woods Witch. I don't know what that is, but yes. I mean, these are a lot of shows, man. A lot of shows.
The name for my character in Woods, which I named myself, and it's Yergey Jagbeov.
There you go. Now everybody wants to go out and see it. Well, listen. Yergey
Jagbeov.
Okay. You've been in a ton of shit, bro. You should be proud of yourself. Obviously, not be. Don't be content. But, you know, come on, man. Give me a fucking break, bro. Anyway.
You're the fucking man. You got your third UFC special coming out right now.
All right, I don't want to hear it. You're just doing that because I did it to you. Okay, but listen. No, but
for real. Well, you got a lot. You're a lot better businessman. You got a lot more shit going on than me, so shut the fuck up.
A lot better business. That's what every comic wants to hear, is they're a better businessman. That's what everybody wants. Is he funny? He's a great businessman. I'm actually a fucking awful businessman. I'm probably the worst. I'm probably the only one worse as you. They're like, man, sold out show tonight. How much is cover? Oh, it was comped. Well, no one actually sell any tickets, but it was sold out. Anyway, you guys are great. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jorgen. Take care, man.
All right, bye-bye.